quickly through the agenda. We'll start with this video by Muhammad Yunus, who is, after all, the grandfather of microcredit. It's an address that he gave just this past spring here in California. Then you'll hear from Maureen, and then from me. We'll have a break, and then it's a great privilege to have Linda and Peg here with us today to really give us the straight of what has happened and is happening with microfinance. So that's the agenda.
So we are honored today to have Professor Muhammad Yunus here as our keynote speaker. Please, give him a big hand. He is known worldwide for pioneering the concept of microcredit and establishing the Grameen Bank to help impoverished people start their own businesses. His achievements in innovative thinking, in innovative banking, led to the global microfinance movement, which has helped millions of people around the world. In 2006, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded jointly to Professor Muhammad Yunus and the Grameen Bank for their efforts to create economic and social development from below. He has devoted his whole life to empowering people, especially people without means, by providing them with opportunities. Thank you very much. And my journey began in the campus of another university back in Bangladesh, in Chittagong University. And Bangladesh is full of problems, as you can imagine. And when I went back after finishing my PhD here, it was extreme kind of problems in the country. And I felt that I'm a lucky person that I'm from Bangladesh. I was born in Bangladesh. It has so many problems. If you lift a finger, you can touch hundreds of problems right around you. And that's exciting for a young person to look at those problems and see what I can do about it. There are so many of them, I can do something about it. And I wonder, if I was born in a country where there's no problem, what would have happened to me? Every time I think about it, I feel I'll be bored to death. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. There's no problem. So this is how I reacted to it, and I didn't wait for any prepackaged solutions. I always try to do in my own way. I look at a problem, I try to figure out a solution on my own, in my own way. I didn't wait for anybody else to help me. When I saw the problem in the village about the loan sharking, it's a kind of age-old problem everywhere in the region, everywhere in the world, but nobody seemed to do anything about it. And I see face to face in a village next door to the university campus. Suddenly occurred to me, I can do something about it. Why don't I lend money myself? If I lend money, they don't have to go, people don't have to go to loan sharks. Then the problem is solved. What's the big deal? So I started lending money out of my own pocket. It's a very tiny amount of money needed. And I saw how eagerly they were coming to me to borrow that money so that they don't have to go to loan shark. And that was the beginning of something which I never dreamt of would happen. Creating something called microcredit. And started lending money, it expanded, created a bank out of it. It started in 1976. We converted it into a bank, formal bank, in 1983. And it became a nationwide bank. And the thing that we do became known as microcredit, microfinance. And every other one, our country wanted to imitate that, follow that. Today in Bangladesh, the Grameen Bank, the bank that I created, has over 8.5 million borrowers, mostly women. 97% of them are women, destitute women who joined Grameen Bank. not only they borrow money from Grameen Bank, they own the bank itself. They sit in the board of the bank. They decide the policies of the bank. So it's a very strange bank in that way. It's a bank owned by poor women. It's a bank which is run by poor women as their policymakers. And we have been... Let me take it off. It's trying to blow away. It's a bank which is at the service of the poor women everywhere. The basic principle that we put right away, people should not come to bank. Bank should go to people. Still, wherever the microcredit programs are done, it's the same principle. They don't have to come to the program. The people go and serve them at their doorstep. So all these 8.5 million borrowers in all the villages of Bangladesh, which is 80,000 villages in Bangladesh, we meet them every week, serve them at their doorstep. And people think lending tiny little money is what is microcredit. That's not true. The whole microcredit is challenging the existing banking system. We are almost opposite of the conventional banking. People tell me, how did you decide the rules and policies of the bank? How did you design all those things, all the intricate details? I say it's very simple. Whenever we needed a policy and needed a rule, we just look at the conventional bank, how they do it. Then we do the other way. We do the opposite. They go to the rich, we go to the poor. They go to men, we go to women. They go to the city center, we go to remote villages. Even today, after 40 years of our work, still there's not a single branch of Grameen Bank. Grameen Bank has 2,600 branches in the country of Bangladesh. Not a single branch is located in any city, any town, any township in the country. So all in the village. So we reverse that. Conventional banks ask for collateral. We dismiss that thing. We said it's a wall which separates people, poor people, from the banking system. So we kind of pull down that wall. We said no collateral. We just do business on the basis of trust. Since there is no collateral, there is no document. There is no legal document between the lender and the borrower. Since there is no legal document, there is no lawyer. There is no lawyer in our bank. It's the only bank in the world which is lawyer-free. You can walk in anytime and ask for a loan, provided you are a poor person. Only thing you have to substantiate very satisfactorily that you are extremely poor. Again, this is the reverse of the banking system. In the banking system, you have to explain how rich you are, and then they give money. And their rule is, the more you have, the more you can get. So we reverse the entire banking system. Today, almost half the population of the entire world is deprived from the banking services. We wanted to fill that, since it's not impossible to do that. So the whole thing began because I tried to do something in a way I thought it would be a solution for the people to stay away from the loan sharks. Now that became a challenge to the entire banking system, because most of the problem we created in the world is because of the banking system. Take the case of wealth concentration. All the wealth of the world is concentrated in few hands. 99% of the wealth of the world is owned by 1% of the population. If you reverse it, 99% of the population of the world own only 1% of the wealth of the world. That's not a good world. That's the challenge to you. How do you reverse it? That's what you have to think. Because this is not sustainable. Each day it's becoming worse. So if you keep on doing exactly the way we do it, tomorrow there'll be 99.5% of the world owned by less than 1% of the population of the world. And it will get worse day after tomorrow. So that's the challenge we have to take and make it the other way. And we continue to look for those solutions. We look at the problems that the poor people face, many problems, health problems, education problems, sanitation problems, you name it. Every time I see a problem, in the village that I worked in, I tried to address that problem by creating a business. And I created a business after business, because there are so many problems. So I keep on creating businesses to solve those problems. And people say, why are you doing that? Why, you must be making a lot of money by doing this business. I said, no, I don't make any money out of these businesses. Then why do you run businesses? Because then my answer is, I enjoy it. So they can figure out, how can one run business without making money for himself? And he says he enjoys it. I said, is there any law in the country that if you decide not to take profit from the company, you'll be punished for that? I said, there is no law. So I'm just taking advantage of it. I don't take the profit out of the company. The entire company is devoted to solving problems. Then I realized, again, I'm challenging something else. The whole concept of business itself. There's only one concept of business in the whole world. Business to make money. Personal money. And I said, no, I don't want to make personal money. I want to solve problems. And I started calling these kind of businesses as social businesses. And defined it by saying it's a non-dividend company to solve human problems. And I continued to create those things. And gradually it became very noticeable. Some big companies wanted to do business with us. We agreed to do that. Among the many things that I created as a social business, I'll just give one example out of many in Bangladesh. Bangladesh doesn't have much of electricity. Villages don't have electricity, they have solar, they have just lamps, kerosene lamps. And 22 years back, I thought, why don't we bring solar energy in Bangladesh? I have no idea about solar energy, all I read in the newspaper, that's all. So I talked to people who knows about solar energy. They said, no, it doesn't fit good in Bangladesh. It's good for Europe, it's good for North America, but not for Bangladesh. I said, why not? So I figured that out. I said, I can make it happen. I created a business, created a company called Grameen Shakti or Grameen Energy. And it started selling solar home system in the villages. In the beginning, it was extremely difficult to sell 4 or 5 solar home system per month. But we never gave it up. We continued. 20 years later, we were selling 1,000 solar home system per day. It became a huge business, a social business. Today we have more than 2 million households in Bangladesh with solar energy. It became so popular to our company that other people came in, NGOs came in, companies came in to sell solar home system. In total today, more than 4 million homes in Bangladesh are served by solar energy, just out of nowhere. So this became the largest off-grid solar system in the whole world. So this is what comes. So it's an idea. You don't have to know everything. I didn't know anything about banking. And people tell me, what is the best thing that happened that you could create Grameen Bank? I said, best thing that happened to me, I never took a course in banking. I didn't have to learn anything about it. Since I didn't know anything, I could do anything I want. Sometimes not knowing the details is a blessing. You can figure it out yourself. And when you figure it out, it will be different than what is in the book. So don't give up on something that you don't know. Always take advantage of it. Make sure it happens. I mentioned lots of big businesses are doing business with us. They are interested in social business. I'll just give one example. We have done many, like with Danone, with Veolia, with BSF, with McCain of Canada. The one from the US, we do the business joint venture with Intel Corporation. What we have done, we are very worried about the maternal death in Bangladesh. So out of Intel Corporation's collaborations, we designed a part of bangles. The bangle which will give you two things. One, give you the signals or alarm when the air quality in the home, in the house that you are working, goes above a certain level. Because fume hurts the pregnant women and their baby. So we wanted to check, because one of the cause of death in Bangladesh, major cause of death in Bangladesh, is the air quality inside the kitchen. So we want to address that. So this bangle, this beautiful piece of ornament, if you look at it, nobody will suspect that you are wearing very high-tech ornament in your hand. That gives you an alarm bell as soon as the quality of the air goes above a certain level. and it gives you a voice message, get out of the house, open all the windows and doors until you have a better air quality and you come back. Then also it gives voice messages. This is the fifth month of your pregnancy. These are the symptoms that you will feel. If you feel that way, it's okay. This is normal. Don't worry about it. If you have symptoms like this, press this button, we'll get in touch with you. So this is a communication. This is a kind of giving advice to young women. We are trying to make more and more into that mango so that nobody has to die at childbirth. It's a common thing all over the world. The women die at childbirth because they don't know this was a risky pregnancy. We are trying to identify the risky pregnancies. So we continue to do that. One of the major problems that we face, the children of Grameen families, their parents are illiterate. We wanted to make sure all the children go to school. So it became part of Grameen Bank's program to encourage their parents to send the children to school. And we achieved 100% enrollment by the children of Grameen families. And then they came to college. We gave them education loans so that they can go to the college, so they don't have to worry about money. And many went to higher education, went to get their master's degree, get their PhD. Grameen Bank provided the support. Then it created a problem. Thousands and thousands of young people coming out of the colleges and universities with degrees, no jobs. They keep complaining. Why did we have education? There is no job. In the beginning, I didn't know how to respond to that. Then I figured out what to say. Then I challenged them. I said, who asked you to have a job? They couldn't answer that question. Did your book tell you that you have to have a job? Did your teacher tell you to have a job? And I told them, always remember, job is a wrong idea. Don't ever look for a job. Always tell yourself that I'm a job creator. I'm not a job seeker, I'm a job creator. So be a job creator. This is a fundamental thing that remained with me. I believe that all human beings are born as entrepreneurs. And we are told, go the wrong direction. Look for jobs. I said, human beings are packed with unlimited creative capacity. And if you take a job, that's in most of the cases, that's the end of your creativity. Even if you are allowed some part of your creativity to be used in your job, mostly in selling some insignificant product, insignificant things, that's about the creativity you can use. Otherwise, it's a repetitive process. A human being who is full of energy, full of creative capacity, taking a job, sacrificing the totality of this creativity, and rest of the life in kind of stay in a little corner of the creative life. So I said, don't ever dream of that. Be a creative person, become an entrepreneur. So in order to make it happen, so what we did, we created a social business fund and asked every young person, come with a business idea. And once you come up with a business idea, we invest in your business. We become your partner. We invest all the money that you need. And it's a joint venture between you and us. Make it successful, return the money we give you. We are a social business. We are not interested in your profit. We are a problem-solving business. So we solve your problem. We put you on the orbit. You go wherever you want to go. And they love it. Initially, we started with hundreds. Now we have thousands of them coming with business ideas. And hopefully, there will be multiples of thousands very soon, in every month. Everybody turns themselves into entrepreneurs. People say, even they were arguing that, oh, some of us may not be entrepreneurs. I said, look, that's not true. Look at your mother. Your mother is a Grameen Bank borrower. She started with a tiny loan, $30, $20. And she turned herself into an entrepreneur. If millions of these women, illiterate women, can become entrepreneur, what good is your education? If you're looking for jobs and then sit idle, say I am unemployed. No human being should remain unemployed. So one of the things, unemployment is totally artificial concept, created by our wrong thinking. When we came to this planet, We're not sitting around in the caves saying that we are unemployed. We're not sending job applications from cave number 5 to cave number 10. Do you have a job? We are natural entrepreneurs. We are go-getters. We are problem solvers. Our education system made us forget that. Made us into tiny little job seekers. So unless we come out of this, discover ourselves, that's the chance you got. Discover yourself. Be somebody that you want to be. And find out who you are. What you want to do. What's the purpose of your life. Without defining your purpose of life, everything will become immaterial. It doesn't have any direction. So what I do, I put my purpose of life or my destination of life in 3 zeros. Zero number 1, zero poverty in the world. This is what I work for every day. So that we can create a world. We can create a world, there's not a single person in anywhere in the world will remain a poor person. And then I say we create poverty museums, so that next generation will go to the poverty museums to find out what poverty used to be like. And that's a goal. It's a doable goal. There's nothing wrong with human being. Only system put us in the wrong direction. We have to undo that system which pushed us in the wrong direction. We have to fix the financial system. We have to fix the education system so that we discover ourselves, our worth. We unleash our energy, unleash our creative capacity, rather than become job seekers. The education system should not end with the job application. The education system will end with the grand ideas about creating a new world. Zero number 2, for me, zero unemployment in the world. Again, I said there is no reason why anybody anywhere in the world should be unemployed. Why anybody in the world should be on welfare. Why anybody in the world just be homeless. There's no reason whatsoever. The same human quality exists in every single human being. Third zero is zero net carbon emission. We have to do it. We can do it. Finally, the non-believers are coming to become believers. We had a signed agreement in Paris, and we make sure we make it happen very fast. It can be done. When we put all this together, 3 zeros implemented, all the zeros are accomplished, we laid down the foundation of another world. We create new civilization for us. The old civilization that we are going through is not something to take us out of the problems that we got. Because our thinking is wrong. Our formulations are wrong. So we have to reformulate. We have to create a new civilization which coming out of the civilization which based on personal selfishness, the civilization based on greed. We have to get out of that selfishness and get out of that greed and create a civilization based on human values. That's the challenge you have. And we can make it together. That's the challenge, we take it, and that's what is worthwhile going to UC San Diego and make it happen. Thank you very much.
Well, that's a hard act to follow, isn't it? I'm really excited this morning to welcome my friend Linda from Haiti, and Peg is in the other room working on how Fon Jose is going to help solve the disastrous hurricane effects, and she'll be joining us after the break. They're staying with me, and I got up this morning, and I was envisioning this leisurely breakfast on the deck that I had prepared, and these two got up, I don't know what hour, and were working on their computers trying to organize how Fon Jose was going to help the people that are devastated by what's happening in Haiti. So two different worlds. We agreed to let them work. So to begin, first, I loved this graduation address by Eunice. and I love the book, Sacred America, Sacred World. I felt Eunice's message definitely reinforced the book's theme. In the introduction to the book, it says, "This is one person's vision of the extraordinary power latent in the hearts of those who want positive change and how it can be harnessed for practical results." This morning, I'll be sharing how Muhammad Yunus's microcredit vision got from the microcredit banks in Haiti called Francoze Banks to Santa Barbara. The creation of our Santa Barbara vision of providing 1,000 more women a Francoze Bank in their rural village in Haiti. After the break, Linda will talk about more about Francoze in Haiti, and you will meet some of the women in the women barrios in a video. I will also share this morning three lessons I learned as part of what I will call sacred groups, including the Francoze Santa Barbara sacred group. The team that created and implemented this Francoze Santa Barbara vision. So lesson one, be ready for the ripple effect. I see these visions of solutions or practical results coming to us through the groups and relationships we choose to engage in, those sacred groups. They challenge us to seek the highest we are capable of and embrace it, as a speaker defined sacred last week. In 2005, I participated in a sacred group, our justice ministry at the Mission Parish. We decided to take the 30-week training session called Just Faith. One of these sessions was on microcredit. Seven of us role-played a simulation of a microcredit experience. I was an agent coming from a microcredit bank to a village, meeting with a group of five Haitian women, and with a script, we role-played. Loans were offered, some loans paid back, some women shared their businesses, and the solidarity group of women problem-solved from their script how to help one woman who could not pay back her loan. I was so amazed and moved by what I learned. I knew that night, that very night, that I would have to go to Haiti and see this microcredit program in action. It seemed too good to be true. Gary and Mary Becker recommended Francoze as a microcredit program in Haiti, and it had a delegation going to Haiti that very year. Synchronicity, huh? I signed up for 7 days with Francoze in Haiti, meeting the leaders, visiting the Francoze women borrowers in their centers, seeing their businesses in the marketplaces. And the culture, the music, the art, the optimism of the Francoze women, it all captured my heart far more than I imagined. So be ready. The spirit in sacred groups can take us not only to distant physical places like Haiti, but on even riskier adventures, like inspiring the choice to engage Santa Barbara Friends and funding a new branch bank for 1,000 women in rural Haiti. Like Eunice, our team had never done this before, fundraising on this scale. And I truly hate fundraising. But we could imagine for $60,000, we could empower over 1,000 women in one rural area to change their lives, 4,000 lives if we include their kids. And it would continue to be there for years to come. It was an irresistible vision. This meant raising startup money to pay for the renovation of a local building into a bank, agents and staff salaries for a year, motorcycles for agents, gas, all the startup costs. And in 2 years, by 2009, Santa Barbara would fund that bank. And in four years, the bank would be independent, self-sustaining, with over 1,000 women. I wanted to share this story to encourage and celebrate all of us as we keep opening to the surprises of the Spirit that take us to places we never dreamed of going. Like Eunice said to his students, let's not underestimate ourselves and the power of our sacred groups to create new solutions together. Stephen Deenan writes that this uplifting effort of supporting women with microcredit can be a joy, not a burden. I must say, for those 145 who birthed Francoise Santa Barbara's Irish Night, it was a joy. Joining friends for a fundraising dinner, a St. Patrick's Day feast at Trinity Church each year, enjoying delicious homemade Irish stew, fresh baked soda bread, wine, singing, group dancing, a raffle, and our video virtual trip to Haiti visiting our women. These were grand nights of great joy for 8 years. Our vision from the beginning was to walk alongside these women. So after the opening of the bank, we continued to raise money, providing classes in literacy and business skills. During the next 8 years, we raised over $165,000. In addition to funding the bank, we provided over 3,000 women an opportunity to attend classes. And back on the table, you can see there are some gift cards if you want to give a gift of sponsoring a woman for these classes. One additional problem we discovered listening to the women in one of our poorest centers. They were able to pay back their loans, but they did not have enough left to pay the $60 for the cost of school for their kids, payments for tuition, uniforms, and books. So the dear sisters Rose and Naza, with whom we stayed when we were in John Mobile, offered to help us set up a nonprofit kids fund in their John Mobile Francoise bank account. And for the last 2 years, we've sponsored 50 kids and intend to raise the $3,000 per year to continue funding 50 kids every year. Another joy, I can still hear Linda in Haiti translating the words of a Francoise woman saying to me, she's telling me that she can't believe you women and the city all the way across the United States would care about us in John Mobile. And these are the moments of Homo Universalis. Did I get the word right? Lesson two is being conscious of our privileged life and the power of that kind of thinking. Eunice talked to students about their privilege to go to school, to a college, to graduate. When we experience the actual or virtual trip to Haiti via video, we remember how privileged we are in this room. We have clean water to drink, roads without drive-through rivers. We go home to a room with a bed, a solid roof, food in our cupboards, and if someone has a heart attack, they're whisked off to the hospital. Like me, you may hear yourself complaining at times, being frustrated with a two-hour wait in an emergency room. And our heart says, really? This is a problem? I catch myself and focus on how thankful I am to have a clinic. And Eunice challenged the students and us, what will we make of this privilege? Challenging them and us to make good use of it. On an earlier trip to Haiti, after a devastating hurricane, a woman shared how she saw bodies of neighbors floating down her village street, and she was stranded on the roof of her home. I asked her how that terrible experience impacted her life, and she said, I got to live. Those of us here get to live another day, and what good use will we make of it? Lesson three is Eunice's invitation to be conscious of our life mission, which he suggests is to be problem solvers, to see problems of injustice and create solutions, to break down the barriers of injustice and work to implement changes. As Deenan says in our book, we are not here to simply create a wonderful life for ourselves and our children. We are here to demonstrate what is possible in society and to boldly forge a brighter future. Like Eunice, we see problems of poverty, the women in Haiti, and lots of problems in Santa Barbara, and we have solutions and resources to implement them. But it takes the power of sacred groups to make change happen. For example, if you come to the CLU Santa Barbara Interface Solutions Workshop on October 16th, and there's a flyer on the table, you will be invited to join those who believe in the power of positive change and seek to network with others to harness it for practical results this coming year. This year, we can actually begin to work to implement Stepping Up, a plan to free 125 to 300 people with mental illness in jail who don't belong there. We can save renters from unjust evictions, and we can house and provide treatment to 200 to 300 more people with mental illness currently on our streets. These are just the beginning of concrete solutions currently proposed by CLU Santa Barbara, facilitating a network of interfaith communities and local organizations. If you come, be ready for the ripple effect. So, our sacred groups, Word and Life, Funko's A Santa Barbara, CLU Santa Barbara, and others, can bring us invitations of the Spirit into our lives and can bring invitations to others' lives. We're all problem solvers. So again, I believe Deenan's vision, modeled by Eunice in creating microcredit, the vision that there is extraordinary power latent in the hearts of those who want positive change, and we have abundant opportunities here in Santa Barbara and in the world for how it can be harnessed for practical results.
So I want to comment on the Eunice video and follow up Maureen's talk and try to tie that in with the book a bit in 8 minutes. One thing I noticed in the Eunice video was the various nationalities of all his graduates. Didn't you see that? And I realized how this reflects the A Pluribus Unum in many one theme that was in the book. Truly, America is a land of immigrants, a country that exists thanks to the many, many people who came from different countries and different cultures. It really is our strength. Because it's developed that way, our country is unique among the nations of the world. It's a place that people want to come to and want to stay in. I also noticed in the video, couldn't help it, how Eunice kept saying, don't get a job, solve problems, be entrepreneurs. Well, entrepreneurs create things. They innovate, they nurture and care for and lead the things they create. They embrace challenges and persevere despite those challenges. They're resourceful and have grit. And I can see how college graduates might be really inspired by that advice. And I wonder, how does that relate to us at our age and our time of life? This call to entrepreneurship. But while I listened to Maureen, it occurred to me that she took a pretty entrepreneurial approach to the problem of the lack of opportunity for the women in the community of Jean Rebel in Haiti. It's true, she worked with Funkosé. She didn't simply write a check, though. She did her research. She visited the area. She checked up. She advocated. She stayed on Funkosé until she was able to be satisfied that the people were getting their opportunity, the women particularly. She nurtured her investment. She embraced the challenges. And she never gives up. Maureen brought many of us in this room and others in Santa Barbara into the enterprise through the innovative idea of the Irish Night for Haiti. And I think that didn't just raise funds for microcredit, but it raised our consciousness and our concern for poor Haitian women, and it really connected us to their lives. Now, maybe we might not all have the energy and the drive that Maureen has, for sure, but we may all be able to be entrepreneurial in another way, with our money. So try this on as an idea. Think about your money as a person. Maybe you could call her Cassia. So Cassia might be employed in government work through treasury bills or municipal bonds. If she did that, she might be able to earn 3% of all she invested. Not guaranteed, but maybe. Or Cassia could be employed in corporate work through stocks and mutual funds. If she did that, she might be able to earn around 7% on her investment. Or not. Not guaranteed. Or she might be employed in a lowly internship in a bank money market fund. In that case, maybe she would earn 0.2 of 1%. Not so good. But if you and Cassia are not happy with those earnings, the two of you might be ready to listen to Eunice's advice. Don't look for a job. Look for problems that you want to solve. And what if you see poverty and lack of opportunity as a problem for many people, and especially for women? If that's the case, you might want to put Cassia to work in a microfinance institution, a microcredit enterprise. You'd want to know what you could expect for Cassia's work. Well, you can be guaranteed that Cassia would earn and begin business startups, the achievement of education of women and their children, food security for families, access to health care, leadership and skills development, among other things. I'm sure there are many others. But those are pretty important returns, I think you'd agree. But the best return of your microcredit investment may be the knowledge that you've reached beyond your own family's well-being to hundreds of people. In the process, you took a big step toward becoming a global citizen, and your world is more sacred than before. Speaking of sacred, Tuesday was a feast of St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis advised, sanctify yourself and you'll sanctify society. He also said, remember that when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing that you've received, but only what you've given. A full heart, enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. It may be that in our time, we're beginning to actually live into those words of St. Francis. The author of our book writes that the evolution of a truly sacred America and sacred world is something we've been working on for a very, very, very long time. He also writes, we can relax into a deep recognition of our oneness with all the peoples of earth and live out our highest vision. I believe that microcredit is a powerful way of connecting with others and recognizing our essential oneness. It is solving problems of poverty and making a difference in the lives of millions of our fellow human beings. So now it's time for the break. And after the break, you will hear a lot more detail from Linda and Peg. So thank you.